But this I know with all my heart. Yes, Jesus did it all, didn't he? Palm Sunday. I can recall as a child going to church and having palm fronds decorating the church, a lot more than we've got up this morning. And in Sunday school, we read the story of Jesus triumphantly entering Jerusalem on a young colt. What's it all about? What's happening? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we can come and spend time listening to your word. We can come and hear what you have done for us, what you've provided for us through your Son. Father, thank you for that salvation. Help us to understand what we hear today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus had been waiting outside Jerusalem for quite a while, ready to commence the most important week of his ministry. He knew where the events were leading. His disciples had no idea the significance of what took place on this particular day, Palm Sunday, is enormous. Jesus is announcing to the world, I am your king. I am your king. Let's read Matthew chapter 21, 1 to 17. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you're doing, just say, the Lord needs them. And he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in highest heaven. The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this? They said. And the crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. He said to them, "The scriptures declare my temple will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. The leading priests and the teachers of religious law saw these wonderful miracles and heard even the children in the temple shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David." But the leaders were indignant. They asked Jesus, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" "Yes," Jesus replied, "haven't you read the scriptures? For they say, 'You have taught children and infants to give you praise.'" Then he returned to Bethany, where he stayed overnight. This morning, I want us to take time to see the nature of Jesus' kingship now, as we've just read, and the different nature of his kingship when he comes again in the future for a second time. That second time, or that second coming, might not be far off. It could be soon. What Jesus is doing here is providing an opportunity for us to get right with God, to deal with those issues that come between us and God. When Jesus comes again, it'll be too late. There won't be time to change sides, as it were. On this occasion, we see the humble Jesus arriving on a donkey. But when he comes again, the picture will be very different. John tells us in detail what we can expect at the second coming in the book of Revelation, chapter 19. "Then I saw the heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a winepress. On his robe at his thigh was written this title: King of all kings and Lord of all lords." The opportunity to change sides and get right with God will have passed. If you're going to do something about it and get right with God, now is the time to do it. We can't put it off. As I read the scriptures and listened to other wise preachers, the Father really stressed to me just how important this passage is. the activities of this day contain so much. As Jesus declares, I am your King. And there are four things I want us to note in the passage as Jesus declares his kingship. Jesus declares his kingship riding on a donkey. This wasn't the norm. Kings do not enter on a donkey. Imagine if King Charles arriving in Australia and the government provided him with a donkey for transport. There would be an uproar. But King Jesus is doing things differently. He is fulfilling prophecy as found in the Old Testament. Zechariah prophesied several hundred years earlier, and now Jesus acts out what the prophet said. Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey. Riding on a donkey's colt. This king is humble and gentle. He's coming to save you. The passage firstly is addressed to the Jewish nation. But then as we consider verse 10, we note that his message goes further to the nations beyond Israel, in fact, to the ends of the earth. I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. I will destroy all the weapons used in battle, and your king will bring peace to the nations. His realm will stretch from sea to sea and from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. Jesus the King is acting to provide hope for all of us. What he's about to endure on the cross in the few days ahead is not just to provide salvation for the Jews. It's there to provide salvation for you and me. There is no one excluded. Everyone has the opportunity to find hope and salvation in him. But then the next one, Jesus declares his kingship and cleanses the temple. As Jesus enters Jerusalem, his first stop is the temple. He's not there to have to meet with the hierarchy, to have a meet and greet, but he's there to do a thorough clean out of the temple. The religious leaders had allowed things to get right off track. It must have been chaos. Jesus upends the traders' tables as the money changers' cash is spread all over the ground. But Jesus once more was fulfilling the prophecy. This time of Isaiah in chapter 56. He cleans out the temple so that it may be used as God intended, a place for all nations to come and pray, not trade. He wanted everyone to have a place where they could come and just seek the Father's face, praising him for who he is, but also sharing with him their deepest needs. Listen to those words. I will also bless the foreigners who commit themselves to the Lord, who serve him and love his name, who worship him and do not desecrate the Sabbath day of rest, and who hold fast to my covenant. I will bring them to my holy mountain of Jerusalem and fill them with joy in my house of prayer. I will accept their burnt offerings and sacrifice, because my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations. This morning, Jesus wants you to worship the Father, but he also wants you to come to him with what's troubling you, the things that are on your heart, your deepest needs. Too often we feel alone and no one cares. That's not the case. The Father cares. He wants to meet with you and for you to have this opportunity to experience joy in your life. I will fill them with joy in my house of prayer. That's what the prophet said. Jesus declares his kingship by bringing healing. Whilst Jesus was busy about cleaning out the temple, there were those who were sick and lame who came for healing. Miracles were done. The prophet Isaiah had foretold the works of this king in chapter 35. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He's coming to save you. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind, unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. This Jesus is the humble and gentle King, reaching out, showing compassion to those who come seeking him. He reaches out to destroy your enemies, to save you. There is no more reason for us to be fearful. We can trust him. Have you placed your faith in him this morning? Are you resting in him? But Jesus also declares his kingship by listening to the children and responding to them. The crowds, including the children, were crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." All this was not going down well with the leading priests and scribes. They became indignant. They wanted Jesus to stop their praise and acknowledgement of him. "Don't you hear what they are saying?" they shout to Jesus. But he replies with, "Yes, I can hear them. I know what they are saying, from the youngest infant to the oldest person there. They're acknowledging me as the one who I am, their king." David in Psalm 8 says, O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You've taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. And the psalmist in Psalm 118 says, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it's wonderful to see. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Please, Lord, please save us. Please, Lord, please give us success. Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Jesus, by saying that he knows what they are saying and he has no intention of stopping them, is telling to the religious leaders, I am your king. I haven't come as you expected, like other kings. I have come as the humble, compassionate king to give you the opportunity to find hope. I've come to save. All of the events of the following week were necessary for Jesus to be able to deal with the barrier that's between us and God, our sin. He went to the cross, as we heard read before, to pay the price for it. He just wants us to repent and put our faith in him, believing him. This morning, let me ask you, have you taken advantage of the salvation he offers? It's a serious matter. The humble king on a donkey is a one-off, as it were. Salvation will not always be available. When Jesus comes a second time as king, and that could be soon, even today, he won't be riding on a donkey, but a big white stallion ready for war. The time for seeking salvation will be past. Judgment begins. This morning, ensure you're ready to meet your King. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus, our King. Lord, we are truly just amazed that he endured so much for us when he came to save us. Lord, thank you for the fact that we have that opportunity of placing our trust in you and relying on you every day. Help us to do that and to walk with you, and we look forward to that day when you come a second time as King of Kings. Amen.